We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Who are some of the defensive players that the Chiefs could target in this draft? Let's talk about it.
You are listening to KC Sports Network. Proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory.
It's a slightly behind edition of the KC Laboratory presented by Emprise Bank, member FDIC. I'm here with my two beautiful, wonderful pals. One's having a flu game today. I'll let you all guess. Maddie Lane, how we doing?
Well, I guess now that you spoiled it, I'm not feeling, you know, the greatest today, but I'm here. I wanted to talk a little bit. You know, we got rugby bleeding over into football, bleeding over into our Chiefs. So like, I had to be here for that. I had to get you ready for this. The Chiefs are finally spending some money. They saved all that money from trading L'Jarius Sneed. They finally started to shell it out a little bit, started to spend some, kind of, I guess. So Craig, what do we think? What do we think about this? I guess we could talk about the signing first. Well, Craig, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's my fault that we're a little bit late, you know. You get two kids, sometimes they're not on podcast schedule. So, yeah.
I just want to say we were 5 minutes late and we apologized. That's only weird
game. Is just lighting it up right now. It's like, oh, what do you guys think you are? Only weird game now? 7:03, you know. Yeah, exactly. But no, everything's good. It's all good. I'm excited to talk about the new rugby player that the Chiefs signed.
If you're on time, you're early at Only Weird Games. That's how we roll. Thank you all so much, though, for spending some time with us tonight. We are presented by Emprise Bank, member FDIC, our absolutely wonderful, tremendous partner, Impossible. We are continually grateful for them, and they're just a wonderful company. We would love for you to consider using them for your banking needs. If you ever have any questions, just reach out to me because I use them for the KCSN draft guide. So, yeah, feel free to reach out if you ever have questions about that. Do you guys want to talk about Reese Lightning?
Yes, I do in a second. First of all, I just want to envision everybody reaching out to you with their banking questions now. That's all I want is for people to cold tag Kit on Twitter with banking questions 24/7. That's all I'm thinking about now.
All I need is your social security number.
No, don't give it to him. He doesn't know what to do with it. Just don't give it to him.
When do you think he gets all that hair care product, Craig?
You guys would be surprised at how little I spend on my hair product. Haircut.
I mean, considering I think different. You spend 23 hours and 59 minutes of your day doing it, then yes, I'd probably be surprised.
Someone that wears a hat, 80% of our shows. Just trying to kill the hair bit. Anyways, Reese Lightning. Louis Reese Zammit. The new running back receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. Former rugby player, 23 years old. Ran a 4.440, 24 miles an hour on the pitch. I believe they call it even in rugby. Interesting athletic profile, Matthew.
Yeah, he was a Welsh rugby player, played in the English, like, I think they still call it the Premiership, Premier Rugby League, something along those lines.
Yeah,
something like that. He, I watch international rugby sometimes. I do not watch,
Craig, are you sneakily, like,
no,
like a rugby fan, like, He knew everything about F1 before F1 was a thing.
No. Maddie's a bigger rugby fan than I am.
You can't name prospects. You can't get the pronounce a prospect's name, but you're like, yes, the Premier League of Rugby.
Your ship, yes.
Indeed.
He played over there. He was one of like the young stars in rugby, actually. He's very good up-and-coming guy. He's been playing with the under-18 national team for a while now. Very good player, very good winger, which means he's out on the outside. He is the fastest guy, the most athletic guy for his team. He is the guy that scores all the points. So if you're hearing that and saying, oh, that kind of sounds like running back, wide receiver, kick returner, yeah. And I think that's kind of what the Chiefs have kind of said about what their plan is going to be to bring him in. Like, that's the position, quote unquote, they're putting him at. But like everyone, I think by now, if you haven't, go look up his highlights on YouTube. You can watch all of his tries, a long video clip of it. But you can see right away, he's very fast, very good with making one cut and running. And like, they're also allowed to kick the ball and go chase it down. Like, they can't do that in the NFL. But he's good at that, but he's very fast. And like, so like, you can see, I think, pretty easily how these traits might translate over to the NFL game. Specifically, I just want to start with just new kickoff rules, Greg. Like, I think that's where you're going to see the most direct correlation, you know, one-to-one from what he had done in the rugby to the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, that was the first thing that I kind of said when I saw the new kickoff rules. I was like, it's a little rugby-ish, and kind of the way that you've got to return it, and the propensity for laterals, there won't be as many, obviously, in the NFL because teams will make you pay for that, but this makes sense for a signing for a guy that is going to be a kick returner, has that one cut and go, has the ability to see a small gap in a line of a defense that looks very similar to, you know, the front that he's going to see in rugby. One cut and go and has the speed to do it. Ran a 4.43 at the International Player Combine for his 40-yard dash. I know that that's not monstrous by any means, but he was very disappointed because apparently he had been training and running in the low 4.3s, high 4.2s. That is blazing fast. And when you watch some of his clips, you get to see some of that, you know, kicking the ball down the sideline, you know, hoping for a try and outrunning two guys that have the angle and are in front of him. It's fun to watch an athlete like that. The one that really kind of caught me, he did a kind of a promotional stunt last year for the 100-meter dash. He ran a 10.44 without really training for it. Just lined up, ran a 100-yard dash and 10.44. Again, not like Olympic world-class speed, but that's fast as hell if you are not training for the 100-meter dash. This guy clearly has natural straight-line speed. He's going to be able to line up, take kick returns, and try to do some of this. I don't know if he's going to make the roster, but this is about as worthy of a 90-man roster spot that you can give to somebody right now, and may not even count for it if he's on the international pathway program here, depending on if they use that spot on Chu Godrick or if they use it. They only have one, so they've got to choose one of those two guys to use it on. But, you know, it's a worthy, worthy swing with these new kickoff rules for certain.
Craig and I had the same idea. We were both thinking the same thing. The Chiefs just acquired also a built-in tackling coach, so they can undo some of the hip drop technique stuff, you know, as well. So now we've got that taken care of as well. Just check that box off too. So this is just great. That is 7 minutes on Louis Rees-Zammit, the 90-man roster player for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey,
that's
man.
Twitter's
been fun since he got signed. Everybody's geeked about this dude.
That's what there's a free agency joke in there.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a reason for that.
Man, it's fun.
We should have had Tucker start the show with his jacket on, is what I think. But that's okay.
You guys could have started on time.
Yeah, we could have. That's a good point. Anyways, let's kind of move on here and start kind of addressing what we wanted to do today. So last week we took all the offensive positions, kind of assessed them, looked at some of those day one, day two, day three type targets that could fit for the Chiefs, some of those tiers, just kind of taking a high level look at this draft class. Going to do the same thing on the defensive side of the ball today. So kind of fitting we start with the cornerback position. Obviously, because the Chiefs just got rid of one of those. Maddie, how likely do you think it is that the Chiefs take a cornerback in round one?
Low. I still don't think it's very high. And if, I mean, so the Chiefs obviously recently traded up for Trent McDuffie. They had extra draft picks. They moved up to get a cornerback that they had very highly ranked that was falling down a draft board. And but they straight up said, like, hey, we didn't even plan for this because we didn't think there was any chance he would be there. So they didn't even enter that draft with the plan of going to trade up for a cornerback. It just kind of happened. So there's always a chance that something just like that happens again, whether it be a Terrion Arnold, a Quinyon Mitchell. I don't know if anybody else would even be considered worthy of talking for a trade up. But if one of those two guys randomly is falling to the 20s and they want to make a move, sure, you can't rule it out. But I don't think that they're sitting here right now going into this draft kind of anticipating cornerback being the best player available at pick 32, nor do I think they're kind of going into this looking for guys. That just hasn't been the MO of Brett Veach. And we talked about it a little bit recently. Like, yeah, they did get Trent McDuffie, but for the most part before that, it's been low-level investments in the position of guys that fit a specific physical profile that then just drops into a scheme that Steve Spagnuolo has. And guess what? That scheme, like the rest of the NFL, is a lot more too high, a lot more zone, stuff that you don't necessarily have to spend high-end capital or high-end assets on to get players that do that. This is no longer 55% man coverage on third down NFL. You don't need a lockdown corner to function as a highly functioning offense. Even the Chiefs last year were a zone-heavy team compared to a man-heavy team. So you don't need a lockdown man coverage corner to win. So I don't think round one is super likely for a corner unless, again, it's just a crazy value is falling down the board.
Yeah. Like Quinyon Mitchell's the one guy that I'm looking at, and I'm like, man, if he was there in the early 20s somehow, he should not be at all. Though he absolutely should not be there. But if he's hanging around there in the early 20s, Brett Veach might be sitting there again going, damn it, they're really going to let us do this again and make a trade up. I don't see them really prioritizing that position outside of that. Now, obviously, there could be some guys that fall. Maybe a Cooper DeJean ends up, you know, falling down towards, you know, pick 32. I mean, I'm never not saying that. You guys better get used to that. So, you know, I know it's DeJean.
You just called a guy, you called him Mustard.
Yeah, his Cooper age Mustard. Just Cooper Mustard for now on. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, actually.
No.
Look, if making fun of somebody's name is not a condiment, it's actually quite rude.
Kid. Listen,
you could have just... He's relishing in this.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
Thank you, Tucker. So, yes, Cooper DeJean could be a guy that makes some sense for the Chiefs. He's got lots of positional versatility there. Nobody's quite sure if he's going to play corner, if he's going to play safety. He's a Spagsy-ish guy. Even still, I think he'd have to be around at 32. I don't think that's a pick that you're trading up for, and I think that's a guy that's gone before pick 32. So, no, I don't think that any of the guys that would be left on the board in round one at pick 32 makes sense for the Kansas City Chiefs to pick.
I want to shout out Andrew Lee for asking me banking advice on Twitter. I referred him to Enterprise Bank. Okay, let's talk. So I think the cornerback, I think that's a position you honestly want to sacrifice a bunch of names to fly off the board in round one. So like, I think you're ultimately hoping for five cornerbacks to be drafted in the first round. I think that's a realistic number. You could look at Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry. A lot of people still like Kool-Aid McKinstry a lot. There's a lot of people that really like it. That's five. I think you want those five off the board, kind of helps situate this, you know, the board a little bit. But, you know, there's one player that I absolutely love for the Chiefs in day two, and it's TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. Like, I think he is a really fun replacement for a L'Jarius Sneed. He's got the kind of he's got the requisite physicality. He is an exceptional tackler. He is really physical out on the edge. Like, he's the kind of player that the Chiefs have typically liked at the cornerback position. I think the weird thing for him is look, he's going to be stuck between pick 32 and 64 somewhere. And so you almost have to take him at pick 32 if you want to draft him, because I don't think when the Chiefs turn around at 64, he's going to be there. So it's either trading up, it's trading back. But TJ Tampa, I think, kind of starts a run of a few players that I really like for this team in round two. Round two feels like there could potentially be some really good players available to them if they so choose, though, Matthew.
Well, so, and this is like where you get difficult when you start to break stuff off into tiers, right? So we had like Arnold, Mitchell, Dijon, Wiggins, and probably Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think you're putting as like a top tier round one guys. Maybe Kool-Aid falls into early round two or something like that. But like those are your guys that you're kind of expecting to be locks to go in the top 40-ish picks. And then I think TJ Tampa kicks off that very next group. So having him fall to 64 seems very, I agree with you, seems kind of, you'd be real lucky for that to happen. You'd most likely have to take him at 32. So then now you probably got to go down another step and you're looking at Enos Rigstraw, who sacrifices size. Good player, but sacrifices some size. Or you get to Kamari Lassiter, who did officially, I know there was confusion about this for his pro day, but did run in the 4.6s, which is not ideal for a cornerback. Does that rule him out for Steve Spagnuolo? I don't think so, because that seems like something they're okay with for a guy that can be that physical, or a Max Melton who tested through the roof. But like, I actually, as good of a cornerback class as this is up top, I think it thins out real quick for round two. There's only a handful of names there that I think you even put in consideration for round two as being good values. And if whichever of those guys falls, they all have pretty significant kind of like, I don't want to say negatives, but areas they need to work on necessarily. So if you don't get a corner in round one, I don't know if round two is a spot that you should really be circling to attack the position either.
Yeah, there's a lot more projection there that's occurring. You know, Max Melton makes sense from a testing standpoint for a guy that, you know, depending on the board, obviously, I don't think that you're prioritizing round two as being like, oh, the Chiefs need to take a guy.
Half TJ
Tampa is there. Yeah, TJ Tampa is there. That's probably BPA. Just throwing that out there at 62 is probably, or 64, probably BPA. But it may be a scenario where you've got a whole bunch of different players that are going to be, you know, buried on a depth chart. Maybe there's a linebacker in there. Maybe there's a safety in there. And there's a corner in there that you really like. You take a Max Melton instead, because you're going to gamble on that high upside. You're going to gamble on that athletic profile. And you don't need him to come in and play right away because you have Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson out there. Now, obviously, you hope that he comes in, wins one of those spots in that scenario there. But that is a lot more of a projection in that regard. And it's more of a luxury pick if you're taking a corner in round two with the rest of the guys that are probably available there.
Yeah, I think there's like a pocket of players that could really appeal to the Chiefs. I think Max Melton plays like he's a little bit smaller, but he plays like a Steve Spagnuolo cornerback. Kalen Carson, I think, kind of plays like a Steve Spagnuolo cornerback. That's the cornerback out of Wake Forest. So there's like a tier of guys like I think that kind of fit in the mold of something that Steve Spagnuolo would like out of it. So like if it is a best player available situation at pick 64. Yeah, I think one of those guys could be the best player available. And so some of those players wouldn't surprise me all that much. The day three cornerbacks are round three to day three. Cam Hart, you know, if you're looking for a true big, long, physical outside corner, I wonder if Cam Hart's a guy that the Chiefs aren't interested in. You know, as like a, I think he's probably round three for them. If they're going to get him, it's probably at 96 would be my guess, or 95 would be my guess. Anybody else kind of round three and beyond, Matthew?
Yeah, well, I think round three is where you probably start to get a little bit better value at corner, but it's all guys are a little bit more like specialty cases. They're guys that are a lot more scheme fit. The guys we all talked about in the round two section are guys that they need work, but they project is kind of like they fit mostly anywhere. They probably have, you know, they're probably better keys, but all those guys kind of project everywhere and you see different fits. You get to round three and it's guys that are probably better in specific spots only. But I like them in the slots. So you mentioned Cam Hart. You another guy of a similar build, Kyrie Jackson, out of Oregon/Alabama. Big physical corners. They're going to press you at the line of scrimmage. Don't really ask them to run horizontally or turn ever, and you're probably pretty good. A guy that I really like, he's infringing on a my guy list for the upcoming KCSN draft guide, Renardo Green out of Florida State. I love I love Renardo Green. I love watching him going back and watching him specifically versus LSU, but you can even watch later in the year versus every time they went up against a top-tier wide receiver where there was a person worthy of him going to cover. He took it personally, and he locked these guys up great, about 6 feet tall. You know, good athlete, 186 pounds, so not the biggest guy, but 6 feet, 185 pounds, over 31-inch arm, so solid. We're good across the board. We hit all the baseline size, good athlete. I just really like him. I like his physicality. I like how feisty he is. Everybody knows I like a corner that's a little scrappy. So you get me that guy in round three. That's what I'm going for. So yeah, like I think round three is the area where I think the Chiefs start to look for a corner because you have guys that you can pick and choose that fit the specific roles that you are looking for, whether that's a big, long press corner, someone that has a little bit more inside-out versatility. Maybe you look for another guy that has the good footwork that gives you that kind of like scrappy, high IQ nature that you got with a Trent McDuffie. And so like you have these very play-specific style of corners out there that you can go with.
Yeah, and another guy. I'm looking not just at round three, round four. The Chiefs have obviously had some really good luck finding day three corners here. There's still some good guys that are on there. Elijah Jones out of Boston College, tested through the roof. Once again, has lots of length. Little stiff, doesn't really turn very well. You're probably playing him, you know, in more of like a cover three sort of look where you're going to have him press, be aggressive at the line of scrimmage, and then have the speed to bail. Steve Spagnuolo is comfortable with playing guys like that, shifting coverages and having guys rotate deep. Another guy, another Florida State guy, a guy that we got to talk to at the Shrine Game, Jerry Jones, really fun player to watch. Another guy that tested really well. Also very feisty, going to get in your face, going to talk a lot. You know, he would be a fun guy to add to the room that can play a little bit inside, can play a little bit outside. He's got the ability to do a little bit of everything there. Maybe a guy that you're looking at and playing a couple different spots in a Steve Spagnuolo scheme. So there's still value to be had, you know, in round four, round five, some guys that tested really well. When the KCSN draft guide comes out here in another week or so, you can see the rest of the tier one corners that are there with CBAT. They're littered all throughout the draft this year. So one of those things that if the Chiefs are really banking on athletic profile, you don't have to take one in round one or round two like you do in some other years.
The Chiefs have had success being late at cornerback and taking, you know, day three flyers. Even Nick Jones and Nazi Johnson. Like, I know they don't have the staying power or the name recognition of, you know, Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, but both of those guys have stuck around. They've been in competitions and training camp before injury, like Nazi Johnson. Nick Jones played some this year. Like, that was a successful late day three pick because he made the roster. He was on the roster. He played on the active roster. That's a win. And they liked him a little bit at cornerback too. So I think, you know, I think the day three tier is where you kind of live and you go find one. You go address some of these other positions elsewhere, and you know, maybe you go grab a veteran to add to the room too and round that thing out. But there's some interesting flyers, and I think there's some good competition, you know, at the cornerback position with some of these late guys. Let's talk a little bit about the edge position now. There are, you know, quite a few players that, you know, like I think you're probably looking at four guys pretty definitively off the board before the Chiefs pick at 32. You're looking at Dallas Turner out of Bama, Jared Verse, Florida State, Laiatu Latu at UCLA, Chop Robinson at Penn State. I love Chop Robinson. I think he's really
so fun. Yeah.
He's still one of my favorite players. I don't know why he's not getting more buzz. I think after that, things get a little bit interesting. And I don't know how many players are really worth the Chiefs taking in the first round, but one. If those four are off the board, I think Darius Robinson out of Missouri is the only one that I think really fits that day one, round one edge tier for this team. And outside of that, don't know if I really love the edge rushers for them.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't know if Chop Robinson is a lock to go before the Chiefs pick. It just seems like the NFL's a little bit more up and down on him. And we've seen some other guys with his lack of college production fall towards the end of round one in recent years. I mean, just look at this team by Owe just a couple years ago. And like, there's guys that have similar profiles that fall. Nolan Smith just last year. I know there was an injury concern too, but there's guys of similar profiles with a lack of production to fall. It's like Chop Robinson's potentially available for the Chiefs. Not the most Steve Spagnuolo type edge. However, last year, went entirely away from the Steve Spagnuolo type edge. So if you're just going to go banking entirely on talent and entirely on like athleticism and the potential as a pass rusher, Chop Robinson is a very good player that would be, I think, you know, they would at least have to consider. Darius Robinson is a very much a Steve Spagnuolo type at the position, can play inside, can play outside. Like, he would make a ton of sense. I don't love the value of Darius Robinson in round one. I think he's a very good player, but I don't know if he has like the taking over of a game potential that you normally want to try to spend a first round pick on. It doesn't seem like a guy that you're taking a very big swing. It seems like you were very much taking the safety net of a guy that's going to be a solid player, which is a sound strategy. I just don't know if that's what the Chiefs are looking for, where I necessarily would want to go with round one pick. But I mean, outside those five, I don't think there's anybody with a shot that should go up there. I know Marshawn Nealon out of Western Michigan has been getting some round one hype as of late. It sounds like if the Chiefs would like to draft him, that is where they would have to do it. It doesn't sound like he would make it to their second round pick. And boy, Marshawn Nealon in the first round would be a choice. That would be a choice. Again, good player. Potential, a lot of potential with his size and athleticism combination, but like that would be a choice to go that round, I think, in the first round, given what we've seen from him.
He's a Spags fit, though. He is a Spags fit.
Oh, he's very Spagsy.
I would not be on board with Nealand in round one. I don't like it. I like him round two just fine. I just think that is steep. And I think it's funny, Maddie, you describing Darius Robinson's like, it's not a high upside kind of guy, you know, some of the, you know, and all that reminds me a little bit of how we were talking about George Karloftis. Not saying that, you know, Darius Robinson is George Karloftis, but fits the scheme really well. Like, we see the implementation. You know exactly how Steve Spagnuolo would use this man. Inside, outside versatility. He's got to be, you know, drooling over the fact that he's 6'5", 285 with 34.5-inch arms. Like, that is a very large human being on the edge. Steve Spagnuolo might be sitting there going, okay, he can play the run, and you know, we'll figure out the rest. We'll teach him the rest of his pass rush moves. We'll bring him along. We'll have him shadow George. We'll have him go work with Tamba Ali, get his hands right, things like that, because you can't teach that size. And so I could see Darius Robinson being a guy that the Chiefs are looking at and going, hey, if he's there at 32, he's top of our board. I know we just drafted King Felix last year and we drafted George Karloftis the year before, but guess what? We're just going to keep adding pass rush because that's what's gotten us through the playoffs on defense the past 2 years. We've got one of the league's best pass rushes. Let's just continue to build on that. Let's make a strength of strength. 49ers are doing it every single year, adding bodies to their defensive line and having an excellent pass rush year after year. I can see the Chiefs doing the same thing, only not spending free agency dollars to do it, instead doing it with round one talent until they hit like a George Karloftis has.
Fun fact, Karloftis is less than half a year older than Darius Robinson right now. So like, there's a reason there might be a first round gap there. Is Karloftis, maybe we didn't think would be this bit level of a playmaker, but he was in college. He was a game taking over player in college at a rate that I don't even know if Robinson was, but he also did so at a full 2 years younger. Like, I do think that matters to the draft profile of a player.
That's probably the guy that really makes all that much sense for them in round one, though. That would be exciting. I like Marshawn Nealon. I don't know. I think I'd be kind of whelmed if they took him at 32.
Compare Marshawn Nealon to Keon White of last year. Just not that like there's a right or wrong. Like, how do you compare those two as players?
From a projection or from like a prospect perspective, like, I don't think they're the same player. Like, I know you kind of think that there's some similarities to Keon White, but like, I feel like Nealon has shown some ability to play a little bit more inside. So like, he actually can get moved around and has shown a little bit more ability to be able to be moved around. Whereas like Keon White, I don't think he really did that as well at Georgia Tech last year. So like, that would be one like kind of distinction I would create between those two. So, and I mean, Marshawn Nealon's also a younger prospect too. Keon White, part of Keon White's thing was he was a old prospect as well. So I think there's some projection still with Marshawn Nealon.
For what it's worth, I see a lot of Keon White and Darius Robinson. You know, like from a size perspective, I see a lot of similarities between those two. The usage of those two, you know, Robinson obviously started more as a defensive tackle than White did, you know, but I see some similarities there. And the NFL loved Keon White. I mean, he would the 15th pick of the second round. So, I mean, I can see teams falling in love with a guy that maybe had a little more production.
Yeah, I was going more for like the rawness and just the combination of size, athleticism. Yeah. Sure, like, I think Darius Robinson's very technically sound at what he does, especially for a guy learning to play. Tucker and I got a chance to sit down and talk to him. He's still he just is learning to play defensive end again. He hadn't played it since high school, right? But I still think you see a lot of technicality and nuance to his game, which is Nealand and Keon White are just two guys that they strike, they rush the pass the same way. It's a bull in a china shop. They're throwing hands and they're just kind of trying to go from point A to point B. It doesn't mean the guy's bad by any stretch. I was just curious as how we compared the two.
It's kind of funny. Darius Robinson doing what he did at the Senior Bowl too, playing as an edge rusher for the first time in a long time. Like, good on him. Let's take a quick break. We will talk more about these edge rushers right after this.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tucker's just ready to call out any pun I have, but it's time to go to break. It's okay. Let's move on. Talked about Marshawn Nealand. The edge position, I think, falls off pretty much after that first round group. Like, I think there are players that fill roles, but as far as like a true group of players in round two that I'm super excited about, I don't know if there's a high group of players in round two that I'm going to be really excited that the Chiefs take. I don't know if you feel the same, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very useful players. I think you get guys like Brandon Dorlus who can play inside and outside. I think you can even look at guys that are probably more pass rush specialists and like Chris Braswell, Jonah Ellis, and like some of those guys might seem like a little bit of a reach, but when you can get after the passer or you have the versatility to play inside and outside, it kind of matters. It's like, while I don't love the edge options in round two, I think you can definitely pick and choose some guys that'll fill a role. So if you want a run stuffer, there's a handful of guys out there that can come in and do that. If you want a guy that just gets after the passer on late downs, you can find a guy that can do that. I'm with you. I don't know if I generally love the edge class once you get past those top five, maybe six guys there, but there's guys that'll fill specific roles. Now, do you want to spend a round two pick on a guy filling just a specific role at a defensive end position when you kind of already have guys that you project as filling specific roles with FAU and BJ Thompson, hopefully going forward, maybe Mike Dana coming back, maybe Malik Herring getting more reps? I don't know about the allocation of the resources there. I think you're better off, of the two, spending a round one pick on a three down player than spending a round two pick on a guy that's only going to play, you know, 30% of the snaps, 40% of the snaps early on, and maybe even caps out his career as a halftime player because of the shortcomings.
Jonah Ellis is the guy that I'm looking at, you know, a little bit. He's 20 right now. So again, young player, has one good year at Utah, has been stuck in a very, you know, good rotation. Like he hasn't had an opportunity to play a ton because the dudes in front of him were also NFL level players. So I, you know, at the end of round two, I think that the value is there for a guy like Ellis. I think that the willingness to play the run is there. I don't know that he's got the body, you know, the lower half to play the run. The arm length is fine, but gets swallowed up a little bit. But as a pass rusher, he looks really good. Like, and so he's one of the few guys that's left there at the end of round two that may have a developmental arc that turns into a true three down, you know, edge that you can count on that could play immediately here. So again, that would be another one of those roles if a Mike Dan is back that you could look at and say, oh, this is our best player available. We're going to take a swing on a guy if we have a couple 1 year deals or some expiring contracts at defensive end. We feel good about giving this guy a little more runway, kind of like they did with Felix. Giving him a little more runway, having him work in there, again, continuing to build that defensive line room. I would be good with a Jonah Ellis at pick 64 in this scenario.
Do you know Jonah Ellis has been married for a year? He's 20 years old. He's been married for a year. That's young. I just saw
sure.
That.
Sorry.
Very mature. Actually, I really enjoyed talking to him. He talked like a guy that the family business was playing in the NFL. He was
talking.
Yeah, right. It was jarring. I think day three is, if you're not doing it in day one, I feel like day three is the pocket where you might see the Chiefs try to add some players. Miles Cole is built like a Steve Spagnuolo defensive end. There's Brennan Jackson's kind of got a similar frame that could appeal to Steve Spagnuolo. I don't know. I'm very whelmed. I'm kind of whelmed by this entire edge position, honestly. And like, there's not a ton of players that really get me excited outside of like the top end of it. But I don't know. Any names you could see the Chiefs targeting?
Eric Watts out of UConn is the big one that I think just screams late day three kind of Steve Spagnuolo guy. He's a 6'6", 274 with nearly 36-inch arms. You want to tell me that, you know, you don't get a Darius Robinson in round one, but you want a guy that kind of has the same build to his body and everything. Watts is a guy you go with. He just needs a lot more seasoning. He needs to learn how to use the natural gifts that come along with being that size and a little bit, you know, a good athlete, an explosive athlete. So he's one guy. If you want somebody that has a little bit more juice, then it's, again, same thing. It's still going to be a lot more of a projection, but Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss, he's a guy that has more juice. He's a little bit more of a pass rusher, but he fits the size profile that Steve Spagnuolo is probably more okay with. You just got to continue to kind of polish up his rush plan and get him going like at an NFL level.
Yeah, there's not a ton of guys there that fit outside of what Matty's saying there. I liked Brennan Jackson, maybe initially looking at him. He's got short arms. He's really short arms. And I mean, I liked his game, and maybe even a guy that I was like, oh, he's very Chiefsy, he's very Spagsy. And then he measured, and now all of a sudden, it's under 33-inch arms. The guys that they gamble on here, explosive long guys in, you know, round 5, 6, 7. PJ Thompson last year's prime example of that. So I think that the pocket has to be right here, and I don't think that they're going to try and force an edge in you know, day three at all. I think they feel good about the room that they have right now. I think it's going to be that round one, round two, round three-ish area where if the value's just so incredibly good, you can't pass up on making your defensive line better. Once you get into day three, now all of a sudden I'm like, take or leave. It's got to be like the exact right fit for me to really feel good about it.
One more quick guy, Kent, so I don't have to cut you off. Thank you. Jalix Hunt Houston Baptist or Houston Christian. Yes. He played safety, and then he transfers in. They move him to off-ball linebacker, then to defensive end. He is a guy that is still entirely trying to learn the position, but we're talking about a guy at 6'4", over 250 pounds, over 34-inch arms. We're very close to a Steve Spagnuolo type of a guy that you might be able to snag later in the draft because of the competition level he faced. because of how raw he is. He is just a guy that I could see them, similar to the BJ Thompson track, of just pulling him in because he's that level of athlete.
I mean, yeah, exceptional broad, exceptional vertical, 37.5 inches, 4'6", 4'40". I mean, good athletic profile to try and bet on. I think we can classify both of the positions that we've talked about. I think it's a good way of saying it. Just don't force it. Like, you don't need to feel a need to force it. Value could fall, take it. I think the interior defensive line might kind of fall in that same boat too, but I'll ask you, Matthew Lane, speaking of like just, yeah, we're not going to force it. We're not. If Byron Murphy's sitting there at pick 32, are you just sprinting to the podium or are you going to take him because like just great player or like what do you
do? What did he do? Why is he there? What's wrong?
I'm creating a scenario I'd like to ask. Okay. I'd like Matthew to answer the question.
First of all, shout out Kenny. Yes, buy the draft guide or else. Kenny's coming for you guys. That's first. Second, yeah, we're sprinting to the podium to get by. We're trading up to the early 20s to draft Byron Murphy in a sprint as fast as we can. He's an exceptional player. I don't know what we're doing here to having like other defensive players clearly being above him. Like, he should be right up there talking about Dallas Turner with the Quinyon Mitchell. Terrion Arnold is the best defensive player in this class. Byron Murphy's an absolute stud. Don't see, it's going to sound like a force and like you're putting bad expectations on him. I don't see how he gets past the Los Angeles Rams. I just don't see any way Aaron Donald.
I was about to say it.
and they just pass on him. And like, it's not that they're a like for like player by any means. It's just, actually, I'm pretty sure I comped into Warren Sapp, who is also a pretty good defensive tackle. So anyway, he's a very good player. Good, you know. So yeah, Byron Murphy won't be there when the Chiefs pick. If he is, go make the move for him. I don't know if Jerzon Newton will be. I think he's pretty clearly defensive tackle too. Kent and I talked about him recently on the KCSN draft show. I don't know if he'll be gone or not, but I struggle a little bit more with him to see if he fits great next to Chris Jones and the deal that Chris Jones has signed. The two are going to be playing on the same team for a while, just because he's not that stout of a run defender. He's a gap shooter. He's a guy that shifts gaps. And I don't know how you play him and Chris Jones next to each other on early downs. And then as I just wonder how he transitions to the NFL, relying so much on shooting gaps the next level. Those are guys that oftentimes have a little bit of a learning curve when they hit the next level.
Especially when a guy like Newton has some, you know, tendencies to get out of his gap as a pass rusher, plays a little bit high. Do you really want two guys that are going to be doing that? Now all of a sudden you leave bigger lanes for quarterbacks and things like that. Now, I like Newton. I don't know. Newton was always one of those guys who was like, well, if Chris Jones is gone,
yeah,
trying to take a look at that type of guy. Like, he fits really well in the three technique spot for Steve Spagnuolo. But yeah, Byron Murphy as a one tech, just get him on the football team. Like, I would be ecstatic with that. No other guys in round one. Like, I there's not a single other guy in round one that I'm interested in.
I think Byron Murphy or Johnny Newton could be BPA for the Chiefs at 32. Just because I think these are both players personally that should go in the first round before the Chiefs even pick. Yes, that's including Johnny Newton coming off of foot surgery. If you look at some of the options and some of the positional value, positional needs, some of those kind of things, I could see both those guys. But that's it. There's a huge cliff. There's a huge cliff. After those first two, for me, doesn't mean there's not interesting players. I think day two, there's some interesting defensive tackles that could be there at the end of round two. Mason Smith out of LSU, who Joe Cullen was reportedly working. Him and Mekhi Wingo, both out of LSU, were working literally today. Mason Smith would be a fantastic swing in the second round for the Chiefs at the defensive tackle spot. There's a couple other players, a Leonard Taylor, a Chris Jenkins, Michael Hall Jr., even Tavondre Sweat. Those are all different players doing differently. But I think there are some interesting targets that the Chiefs could potentially look at addressing in that tier at the end of round two.
Yeah, there's definitely some guys there. They all, like, they're mostly like pass rushers. Besides Tavondre Sweat, you don't really have a lot of really good run defenders, I don't think, or guys that profile as like true nose tackles in this class. And so if you don't, this is where the Johnny Newton thing in round one gets difficult for me. How big of a drop off is it from going from Newton to Michael Hall? If I can get one of those guys around later, like, I don't know, right? That's where I get a little dicey on Newton in the round one. So then you get to the back end of round two, and I think you do have a handful of guys a Wingo, Smith, Hall, like all these, even a Chris Jenkins, if you really want to trust that athletic profile that he put out on the combine, and just say that Michigan played him out of position this past year when they kept trying to play him as like a nose tackle, there's a lot of really good athletes that profile as potentially good pass rushers at the next level that you could find at the in round two. The thing, though, is there's so many of them. Like, there's a good handful of them. Maybe you just hang on till round three and catch whoever falls out of that group. Maybe now you are looking at a Mekhi Wingo, a Ruka Rororo, Dwayne Carter. Like, there's another handful of guys in round three that kind of fit the exact same profile that I don't know if there's huge gaps between the two groups.
Especially since a lot of these guys are, again, samey for Chris Jones. And again, you can project for Chris Jones. They have a Turk Wharton on this roster because they don't have another three technique. And so if a Leonard Taylor's hanging around there and you got him as the best guy on your board, you take him. You know, the Leonard Taylor's good football player, played a little bit of one tech, played some three tech. He's going to be able to shift in and out. You know, Steve Spagnuolo routinely will just shift the front, whether that's switching guys and things like that. So he's going to be able to hold up the rigors inside because he's used to that sort of thing. But it's not a guy that you're looking at and you're going, oh, he's taking all the snaps from Derek Nottie. No, he's still going to be a backup for a Chris Jones. So there's a lot of guys around this period that you're replacing a Turk Wharton or replacing, or, you know, trying to roll with a singular one technique like they did at times last year and just played a whole bunch of three techniques, moved them around. I can see this being a little bit more palatable than maybe, you know, taking that early swing on a Jerzon Newton and, you know, trying to convert him into that same sort of role. The pick value makes a little more sense at the end of round two. A
couple names that we really haven't spent too much time talking about, though, that have seen some first round buzz, but I don't know if I'm buying it yet. Braden Fisk out of Florida State has gotten some recent round one mock love. Ruk Ororo, as Maddie mentioned just now. Eric Galco, our friend, in his mock over on CBS. Go check it out. He had him going before the Chiefs pick. So, yeah, there's a couple interesting names there. One name I love, and the Chiefs have, I think they're having him on a 30 visit. Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa.
Love him.
Man, I tell you what, if the Chiefs are able to get Christian Boyd, I think he's a fantastic fit for this team. Just absolutely tremendous fit for this team. I think he reminds me a little bit of Mike Pinnell, a little bit like with like how he's built, the way he's built reminds me a little bit of Pinnell. But he's crushed this process. He has absolutely crushed this process. Was one of the best players at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Had a good NFL Combine. He's coming in for a visit. We got to talk to him. I mean, he's a fun player, and sounds like the Chiefs have some level of interest in him because they're bringing him in, and he's a Blue Springs guy. He was off a 70 highway growing up, going to games. He'd be a fun one.
Yeah, he would, and if you're looking for a more nose tackle type, now I understand the Chiefs brought back like 30 of them on one-year deals this past year, but if you are looking for a guy that fits more of a nose tackle prototype to have under club control, similar to what they did last year with Keandre Coburn, day three is probably where you're looking. You know, whether that's a McKinley Jackson, the guy that maybe you can get in the fourth round. He's probably the top of this list, right? But he's probably in the fourth round. Tyler Davis, we mentioned Christian Boyd. You can get down to, I mean, guys like Miles Murphy out of North Carolina. Auburn has a pair of guys. Jordan Jefferson out of LSU, or another defensive tackle the Chiefs also visited with, Fabian Lovett out of Florida State. Huge, good athletic profile. He had his pro day. He did an excellent job working out at his pro day. Like, there seems to be interest from the Chiefs in day three defensive tackles, guys that fit a little bit more of the nose tackle archetype if we're looking at Lovett, if we're looking at Boyd, who the Chiefs have visited with. So that, again, kind of like corner, kind of like edge, although edge seems like you're not trying to force it anywhere. Defensive tackle, corner, probably a position that, like, you're going into the draft thinking the Chiefs might be more likely to address it on day three, on day three of the draft rather than earlier on.
Yeah, just give me Christian Boyd on this team, please. Like, the difference when he's in the game and the amount of the way he resets the line of scrimmage fits perfectly with Chris Jones. Like, it really does, because you can't leave this man single block. So if you're going to turn around, you're going to try and double team Chris Jones all game long. Guess what? Christian Boyd's going to take a lot of these NFL level guards for a ride into the backfield. He is going to crush the pocket. He is going to create problems in the run game. he is just a little bit undersized, a little bit short. And that's really what it is. I know a lot of people see a lot of Colin Saunders in him. He's a different player, really, really strong. I love Colin Saunders. I loved that pick. He's just different in the way that he wins with a multitude of different ways. It's not just that first step, but it's the strength that really stands out on film and the ability to anchor against doubles when he does catch them. He's such a fun player, would make so much sense in this defense. And if they take him round three, and I know, I was over the moon about Keandre Coburn last year, I would be even more so about Christian Boyd this year.
Talk a little bit about safeties now. We can move on. And I think it's kind of interesting to see how established we think the defense really is. You know, we're looking at all these positions and we're saying, like, if the value's right, take them at literally every defensive position. And not, the same thing applies to the safety spot. I think every safety will likely be available to them when they are picking at 32. Would be stunned if the Chiefs took a safety at 32. Like, there's a couple of good players that, like, I wouldn't be mad after the fact that they took, but I would just be a little bit surprised to see them value the safety position that the way that they did. You know, but that being said, in between round one and two, there's some players that are going to fall off the board most likely. I don't think the Chiefs are going to have a chance to draft Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota or Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. Kalen Bullock potentially out of USC, and Cole Bishop getting some round two love as well. I think three or four safeties are probably off the board at 64 when it's all said and done. I think we named three or four players that could go before the Chiefs pick at 64.
Yeah, they 100% could. The only two that I feel confident in saying that the Chiefs wouldn't have a chance to at 64 would be Newbin and probably Jaden Hicks after he ran in like the mid 4.4s.
That's pro day, first tier.
At his size, yeah, I think those guys are clear one, too. I might be leaning Hicks over Newbin because I think he does a thing elite and Newbin just good across the board, but that's besides the point. I don't think the Chiefs are in the safety market for the first two rounds, probably not the first 2 days of the draft. Maybe you want to sell me that they love Javon Bullard out of Georgia because he can play in the nickel and the goal is to move Trent McDuffie full time outside. So they're trying to find another nickel and they have a guy like Bullard or Dadrian Taylor Demerson as like a top nickel corner, not just a safety, but a guy that's like a slot defender. Okay, maybe that's where you maybe can get into that talk at the maybe round two, probably more round three. There's some guys like that that maybe could slot in as slot defenders more so than pure safeties. But even then, I feel like it's probably a little early for they would want to go. And I also don't think they want to move Trent McDuffie out of the slot either.
No, I don't think that they do either. Yeah, I think the target area here is probably round three, and it has to be value. Maybe a Dadrian Taylor Demerson, as safety out of Texas Tech, who. I can see the Chiefs just being like, we love talking with this guy. We just want him in our DB room. It's as simple as that. We'll figure it out later. We've got a rough plan of attack for him, but he's a true leader. He's just contributed so much to everything, and everybody loves him when they get done talking to him. I can see the Chiefs falling in love with a guy like that. But realistically, Brian Cook is probably coming back healthy. We haven't had a full status on him yet. I think if the Chiefs took a safety earlier, that would tell you something about Brian Cook's recovery there, because they've already got a guy in Shamari Conner that they also really like here. Yep. Deion Bush is back on this roster as safety four, and he's a fine safety four. He's probably above average for the league in safety four. So it's got to be somebody that's just, hey, we didn't believe this guy was going to be here. We love the character of this guy. We feel comfortable with him just being in the room and helping out the room. Like a DTD.
It's crazy. Like the whole defensive side of the ball, man. Just wild how you're perceiving this whole, like, it's young. It's
amazing how it changes in 1 year.
It's young and it's deep, man. It's young and it's a deep defense. So there's not a ton of places. I know we don't have a linebacker on here. I think the Chiefs will have every linebacker at their disposal at 32 as well. I think it's kind of a luxury to take them because you've got Bolton, you've got Drew Tranquil, and you've got Leo Chenal. I think you're looking at day three linebacker types that could potentially play on special teams. And honestly, like, that's it. Like that's kind of what you're looking at. So, like, I don't think that they're going to take any players in the first couple of days. One name that would be kind of fun, Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. I think he's kind of a guy that can maybe play multiple spots for Steve Spagnuolo. Still a really young player, still had some production. So that's just one name I would kind of keep an eye on. Any linebackers you want to keep an eye on, Matthew? We'll just kind of throw some ideas out. I'll sit through one more. Michael Barrett, if you're just looking for a pure special teams player out of Michigan, would be an ideal fit. Same with Jordan McGee out of Temple. So there's some special teams kind of role players that you could maybe look at on day three. But outside of that, I'm not paying too much attention to the linebacker position.
No, not really. It's for the structure of this conversation where we're tearing guys off, like there's not really a round one linebacker unless a team gives Peyton Wilson, to me, in my opinion, aces in the medicals. There's nobody really competing to be a round one linebacker. I know like Edgerrin Cooper's trying to get talk up in there, but even round two is a crapshoot. And like for the Chiefs perspective, I don't foresee them going early at linebacker. They might throw some bodies out there in day three, because, hey, the news kickoff rules, maybe you want more linebackers and tight ends on your depth chart to fulfill like how that's going to go out. Like maybe you may have to sacrifice a defensive lineman or something to get another like big but also athletic body out there to handle the, you know, the kick coverage, the kick blocking rules. So I don't have any more linebackers. I don't know if there's any that Craig really wants. I do have two questions for you guys before we wrap this up, though.
No, hit your questions, buddy.
Okay. We all kind of agree. The defense isn't in a dire need of like many starters. Like, yeah, we would like another defensive end if they don't sign Mike Dana before the next season starts. Yeah, another corner added to the room, whether it's a vet or a draft pick, would be very helpful. Which of these position groups that we talked about today do the Chiefs draft first in this upcoming draft?
Edge. I think it's going to be edge, just because I think they'll like corners available in day three a little bit better, and they'll like the cuts that they can take out there, whereas edge round two, round three, I think they can find a guy that they might fall in love with.
I think it's DT. I think it's interior defensive lineman round two, round three. I think there's going to be more realistic available options in that tier. That I like the tier of where I see them potentially taking one better than I do the edge class. It's more just about the types of players I think could ultimately be there at 64. I think there's more bites at the apple the Chiefs could potentially take in round two and round three at defensive tackle.
So, I mean, I kind of agree with both of you, and that's what makes it hard. I think those are the two, right? But a D tackle, the reason it makes sense is there's more options that fit the scheme for day two. Defensive end makes sense because I can buy the fact that Chop Robinson or Darius Robinson are the best players at 32.
Yeah.
Or somebody earlier than round one, if you're the Chiefs, right? So that's the first question. Second question, which of these positions that we talked about will the Chiefs are least likely for the Chiefs to take? Which position are the Chiefs least likely to take?
Are we including linebacker, or are we lumping?
No.
Okay. Safety.
They're not on the rundown.
It's safety. It's definitely safety for me.
I think it's safety too. I think it's safety as well. But like, I don't think Deion Bush precludes you from taking a swing at the safety spot. I'm actually more interested in maybe they find the next Mike Edwards as a like find a vet here in the next month or so and sign him. So
unless they just go ahead and draft Matty's guy, Jarius Monroe, and have him play that kind of slot safety hybrid.
Let's get it.
That would be fun.
I'm with you guys. Probably safety. My dark horse is corner, not because they don't think they need a guy. It's just if I look at free agents available, there's corners that can come in and play. They could like offer you play. So if you sign a vet corner, do you actually have space for another draft pick? Like that's the only reason. Now, are the Chiefs going to spend the money in free agency? Are they going to bring in a vet? I don't know. I'm just saying like I could see a pathway to where they go in and they're like, oh, Stephon Gilmore is going to pay for pennies. Let's bring him in. And if you do that, I don't know if you need to flood youth into the Watson, Williams, Nazee Johnson, Nick Jones, plus now Stephon Gilmore cornerback room.
And they like, we know. Well, they like those young corners too, and they've hit on some swings that are worth getting a look at. So then why are you adding another body into this competition? Like I could see the argument. It's either like a guy that's clearly better than these guys, or maybe none at all, because you've got enough bodies there in the, like, I think
that's the logic.
That's the logic. I think that's really smart. Been a really fun show, despite Craig, you know, butchering Cooper Dijon's name. It's okay. We mustered enough energy to finish the show. That's going to do it for the KC Laboratory. Thank you so much. We'll catch you later. Bye, the draft guide.